Welcome to Fat Mascara.
Welcome everybody. Everyone and everybody. I'm Jen.
Everybody. Yeah. I'm Jess.
So, before we get into our fabulous show with a fabulous guest, we have a little housekeeping.
Okay.
Actually, it's more than housekeeping.
No, it's more of like it's a great announcement.
It's a party invitation.
It's a party.
You guys, we're having an Earth Day after party.
I love that.
With Davinus, one of our favorite natural brands. They do hair care and skincare and all sorts of goodness.
And it's Italian and fabulous.
Oh, they
I
are
love
very
that.
Italian.
It's Italian in the springtime in New York.
So
how
on,
glamorous.
Yeah. So on April 23rd.
Mm-hmm, it's a Tuesday night.
It's a Tuesday night in New York City from 6 to 8 on 50 West 23rd Street. By the way, we'll put this all on the website mm-hmm. for you.
Yeah, so you don't have to take copious notes.
We are going to have a listener party. And it's going to be dope.
It's going to be on a sick rooftop. I've seen it. It's really glamorous. If you are chosen at random, mm-hmm. well, actually, not at random. We're going to have a really...
You'll fill out a little questionnaire, yeah. but we'll choose from yeah. everybody who applies to get a ticket
yes.
randomly.
Randomly.
50 people. So that's 50 of you. There are some spots here. You can get a spot.
50 people will be mixing and mingling on this rooftop, getting dry hairstyling with the Davinus experts, getting to sample some of their skin regimen.
Some experiential little activities.
Also, I love because Davinus is all about slow beauty.
Yeah.
There's also going to be some slow food snacks.
Yeah, they work with the Slow Food Foundation, which is, you know, they plant seeds for biodiversity to promote that.
Mm-hmm.
Can I also say there are slow wines?
Oh, I love that.
So we're going to drink. We're going to eat.
Bevies.
We're going to talk beauty. Jess and I will do a little spiel. You'll get to meet us. You'll get to meet other Fat Mascara fans and listeners.
That's one of the best parts about these parties.
We even met intern Tiff at one of our listener
we
parties
did.
In the past.
We picked up intern Tiff.
So maybe you'll be our next intern. Who knows? So
sketchy.
If you guys want to score an invitation, we have 50 to give out. Go to fatmascara.com/Davinus.
That's D-A-V-I-N-E-S.
Thank you, Jess.
I-N-E-S. D-A-V as in Victor. I-N as in November. E-S as in Sam.
I love that. You should be in the military. Jeez. fill out the little questionnaire. Give us your info. Then we'll get back to you by, I believe, April 16th or 17th to let you know if you did indeed score a ticket. If you didn't, no worries. We'll be doing more parties throughout the year, right?
And we may even have a little surprise for you guys.
I almost said that. Even if you don't get a ticket, there's another surprise, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hope to see you there. Okay, so let's get back to the normal order of things.
Let's do that.
I'm so like jittery now because I'm so excited about the party.
I'm really excited.
What are you
going to
wear? Okay.
I don't know, something green maybe in honor of Earth Day?
I like that, yes.
All right, this episode we are going to talk about glass makeup. Remember glass skin? Mm-hmm. Well, now there's glass makeup. Then, Jess, I cannot wait to hear about mewing.
Mewing.
I don't even know what that is, but Jess is going to inform me. And last, Wands for Wildlife. Really good cause. We'll tell you all about it.
And then our guest.
Oh, you want to do a drum roll, don't you?
I did, but I've been told I make too much noise in the studio.
Who told her that? Not me.
I believe our producer, Enyo. So, so our guest is the incredible, the iconic, the rock and roll legend that is Sally Hershberger.
Sally Hershberger.
I can't believe it.
I wish I was alive in the early 80s to party with you.
You were alive in the early
80s. I wish I was old enough to party with you in the early 80s.
I wish I could have raged with Sally.
Right? Oh. You're going to love this interview.
Sally, I love you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
All right. Remember, glass skin was a thing. I'm sure it came out of Korea. I believe that's where it started. It's basically the super moisturized, dewy skin that's so plump and reflective it could be glass. Correct?
We kind of like broke glass skin, I think.
That's right. You heard about it here first.
I feel like we were one of the first people to talk about it.
I mean, maybe one of the first,
but we definitely
maybe we'll break glass makeup, because I actually haven't heard about this a lot, but I noticed two products launching and I said, oh, it's a trend. It's happening. So Kevin Aucoin is coming out with a glass highlighter, which is basically like a clear gloss for your skin. And then the other one that is already out, actually, I double checked, Beauty Blenders, is called Shine Lighter.
This all comes like hot on the heels of what we were talking about the other day. It's so funny how certain products just keep on like popping up in different episodes. It's not that like there's nothing new. It's that they're important. It's like the Chanel multi-use, the balm stick.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's like the Ciate dewy sticks from like 2 years ago.
But you know what? I feel like they wouldn't give it one of these Instagrammy names like Glass Skin at Chanel.
Right.
So they had to make it like Le Balm.
But it's the need, it's the want for like a highlighter that lacks sparkle. It's like you are just made of glass, your reflective face,
so
reflective being.
We tried on these at work, me and the girls that I work with, and Taylor, was her one comment was, you know how when you lip gloss, when you wear lip gloss and your hair gets stuck in it? These are actually even more not tacky, but they're more glossy than the Chanel Balm, for example. So we were worried that your hair might blow and get stuck to it. But it doesn't really. It's not as tacky as, like, remember like MAC lip gloss back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
You're getting that kind of shine, but without that much tackiness. It's much sheerer. And it does last, but not as long as, say, a shimmer powder. If you're not going to get that longevity.
I don't know if at my age I want that kind of like drama in the office. Like maybe like at night or something, like a special event. But this is a lot of drama if it's really that like lip glass
effect. It is, but to me it gives less drama still than a shimmery highlighting powder or strobing powder. Because I don't know if it's because I have some dryness and like small lines. Mm-hmm. This sort of sits on top and I feel like I'm plumper and dewier, where the shimmer powders like make my small lines look more, they look bigger.
I hear what you're saying.
Like it's sort of like resting on top of the skin instead of like falling into the crevices.
It's floating like a bubble.
It's floating like a bubble.
Okay.
Bubble skin. It's next.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Anyway, these products are out. I bet you we're going to see even more of these soon. Clear highlighters for your skin, your cheeks.
Yeah.
So watch this space.
Okay, glass makeup. Wow. Just when I thought I heard it all.
What happened?
My friend texted me the other day, and she is a beauty aficionado. She also listens to this podcast, and she makes sure, I really appreciate her, because she makes sure that I'm up to speed on all the latest beauty news. So sometimes she'll like throw me like, have you heard of this? Did you see this? You know, blah, 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 that kind of thing. And I love hearing, you know, her take on things, but she really threw me a curveball the other day.
What'd you hear
about?
I
thought it was a typo. She wrote, "Have you heard of mewing? M-E-W-I-N-G." And I thought this was like, was she writing me about my cat or like... I didn't know. Was this like an animal charity solicitation?
What's mewing?
And then she said it was like something with your jawline. And I think there was something with like Reddit or... And then she was like, oh, never mind.
Our interest is piqued.
Yeah, you don't drop mewing and then like, you know. So I Google mewing.
What's mewing?
Mewing is this thing that... If you Google it, guys, I really think you need to Google it to understand.
And okay.
It's this thing about tongue posture. I still don't understand where the connection between mewing, like the sound like of a cat, and this thing, and like what I'm talking about.
What is it? You put your tongue
in
a posture? Okay.
On the top, like the roof of your mouth. Basically, the idea is that we are not holding our tongues properly.
Wait, is this going to give me a beauty benefit?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Go on.
Bearing lead. If you hold your tongue properly.
All the times?
Yeah.
Okay.
All the times. You will have a more sculpted jawline.
Wait, what? So if my tongue muscle is in a certain position, my jaw looks tighter?
Yes.
What is this position?
I'm going to do it for you right now.
And you are going to talk like this while you do it.
Well, no, you kind of have to.
Okay, go ahead. What is it?
Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm following the steps. I'm going to talk while I do it. Ready? You put the tip of your tongue directly on the point between your two front teeth.
Maybe I do it and you tell me.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. This is...
Okay, I'm doing it.
Okay. Keep the tip of your tongue pressed to the roof of your mouth.
Uh-huh.
And slowly follow, like basically drag it back.
Uh-huh.
So it's to the middle of the roof of your mouth.
I'm getting it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, see, you look hot already. Okay.
Do I?
Yeah, you look better.
Okay.
Okay. As you move further along the middle of your mouth, the roof of your mouth, you will notice a ridge along the middle. And it gives like the medical name.
I feel it.
We will call this the mid-palate ridge.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God, there's a lot of directions. So far, you will notice that the roof of your mouth is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to bring the tip of your tongue further back in your mouth until you abruptly reach a soft and fleshy area, the soft palate. Gross. Okay, last thing.
Mm-hmm.
With the tip of your tongue, now explore your mouth in the area where the teeth meet your gums.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You now know as much as the geography of your mouth as is necessary to begin correcting your tongue posture.
Okay.
Jen, now that you've explored the geography of your tongue, I've watched many, many YouTube videos on this. They use a lot of medical terms. I'm just going to tell you where I think your tongue should be.
Mm-hmm.
It should be kind of pressed up against the roof of your mouth, and the tip of your tongue should just be like chilling behind your front teeth.
So it's not the tip that's pressed up on the roof.
It's like the whole, behind
the tip.
Yeah.
And then my tip of my tongue just gets to okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
How's my jaw look?
I think you look okay.
But what about when I'm talking?
Close your mouth. Oh, you look good.
I look different?
Yeah.
It actually hurt a little bit in my back of jaw, jaw, right under my ears almost.
Why?
Because
you're not engaging those muscles.
I must never use those muscles.
The idea, and I watched this mewing expert who was like basically like a...
Dr. Mew.
He was like, no, just like a tween, like idiot. Like in his bedroom.
Okay.
He was saying that...
He doesn't need jawline help at that
but
age.
Everyone wants it.
Okay, what are they saying?
Is that we are conditioned. We're basically like walking around. Like just like how we have hunchbacks.
Yes,
and
yes.
We're walking around like very slobola. We are slobby bobby in the neckline.
Engaging the muscles in our jawline.
Exactly.
So we could be more sculpted if we were only to press our tongue upwards and let it sit right behind our two front teeth.
Yeah.
What about when we're talking and stuff? This is just sort of like when we're in a relaxed phase.
Well, think about like, have you ever been like in a meeting or thinking about like if somebody was watching you, like let's say somebody you had a crush on or in a meeting where you're supposed to look smart and engaged.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that.
That's when we should mew.
You should be mewing when you need to look like... Like as if you were getting your painting
over there?
Yes.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Just don't mind me mewing over here.
Put your tongue.
All right, we got it.
Okay. So anyway, I don't think that this is something we're actually going to adopt. I don't think we should all be walking around doing this because you're going to end up tripping.
But some people can handle these two things at once, walking and mewing.
No, this is like building a mousetrap.
But it does help you realize where those muscles are. Maybe it's the same way you got to like drop your shoulders. Everybody take a deep breath.
That's what I mean. Like there's so many things
drop
that we're
just not conscious of. Drop
your
shoulders and mew right now, everyone.
And just Google mewing, because if anything, you're going to say, who has the time to make these videos? Because I was entertained for like 18 minutes. And shout out to my friend for introducing me to mewing. Okay, this is a lot simpler to understand
than mewing.
Yeah, this is another
hot tip.
Okay, have you guys heard of Wands for Wildlife?
I have.
A lot of y'all have been tagging me in Wands for Wildlife. This is a great organization. You know that I love the little critters. I can't get enough of the little critters. But beauty and wildlife have collided here. It's this organization which is, you know, this isn't like WWF or anything or a PETA. It is, Wands for Wildlife is based in Skyland, North Carolina. And what they do is they will use your old mascara wands to remove things like fly eggs and larvae and other kinds of, you know, cockamamie
nasties.
Gross stuff from the fur of wild animals that they rescue.
I think also for like oil spills and things like that. I was thinking about this when I looked at it. A mascara wand, a clean mascara wand, and we'll put a link on our blog and our website so you can see where to send your clean used mascara wands. There's nothing like it with those little tiny little grabbers that are gentle.
It's really amazing,
still.
Right?
Like, think about it. You can't go buy empty mascara wands unless, you know.
Unless you go to Ricky's.
Then you have the other carbon imprint of buying something brand new when all these used ones people that are just throwing out could go and save the little otters.
I think this is it's just so unique and fascinating. I do wonder, it seems like the world is sending them their wands just from how many people just DM me and it's just me.
I was sort of like, I'd like
to. Do they have too many, you know?
I'd like people to save up to like a couple months worth of wands. Like if you're just like shipping down one wand a month, like the carbon footprint on that,
yeah.
I don't know. But at the end of the year, you tried a bunch of mascaras. Maybe there were some you didn't like or dried out. Rinse them off, clean them off, send them to the critters.
I love that. And Wands for Wildlife, if you hear this, let us know if there's anything else you need or other animal charities. I'd be curious to know.
I got some cushion compacts. You need the cushions? Got an old beauty blender? What can you do with it?
I'm so excited about, you know, I feel like we're in a funny moment right now where Jen and you and I talk about this all the time. We talk about it like offline to beauty brands. There's so much waste happening right now in the industry because of crazy mailings.
Yeah, how else can we reuse our waste?
Yes, but the beauty industry at the same time is trying to be like, we also want to fix it. So let us know how we can help, you know.
Repurpose
and
upcycle.
Use our beauty powers for good.
Oh my God, beauty powers for good. Love it.
Raise a wand. Raise a big one.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
So we've interviewed a lot of stylists on this show, stylists who've carved out incredible careers, but there are very few, if any, who've created a singular iconic cut. The Shag, maybe you've heard of it. The person we're with today has worked with every celebrity, you know, like really. She has a product line as well as New York salons, uptown, downtown, and a brand new one that's just opened in Sparkly Hudson Yards last week. I was there. Welcome, Sally Hirschberger.
Hello.
It's freaking Sally Hirschberger. How cool.
My intro could have gone on a lot longer, so, like, consider yourself lucky.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to do this. You guys are a blast already.
Oh, thank you.
You guys should have heard us before.
Oh, that was, like, that was very, like, beauty uncensored.
Juicy, juicy.
Oh, we'll get into all it. The don't you worry.
Can't get into all of it, yeah. But yeah. So, okay. We have a lot of questions. This one's kind of, like, big and open-ended, but I have to ask you. We don't ask everyone this because we'll be here forever.
Yeah.
But I feel like you have a very interesting story. How did you get into hairstyling?
Well, actually, I didn't even want to be a hairdresser, and I'll make this long story shorter.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't because, you know, I came from a family where people were doctors or lawyers. It's just, you know. But I was also 16 in L.A. My father lived in Kansas, and he was an oil man. My mom was kind of living the life that she couldn't live there. So I grew up in a wild house.
She was living the life in L.A.?
Yeah. Like, you know, she was young. She was in her 30s. And my brothers, I had two older brothers, and they were best friends with, like, the Pretenders. And Joan Jett was my first girlfriend. And, you know.
It was your first girlfriend.
Yeah. And I was 16.
Wait,
I also
what?
Had boyfriends. Yeah. So I was, like, popular with the guys in school.
Uh-huh.
And I was a surfer girl. But then I had this other life going to the club, sneaking out at night with Joan and all those, you know,
so people. On brand.
So, long story short, I just thought I would inherit my trust fund and I never would work again. So it was all happening in L.A. in the 70s, going to these nightclubs. And you would just like be like, oh, hey, I heard Elton John's having a party. You're going? We weren't invited. We just went. And we were young, cute kids. And we went to, oh, Cher's having a party tomorrow night. So before I knew it, you know, this was like kind of our life, rock stars and whatever.
This is so fabulous. I'm seeing the movie in my head right now. I've got a soundtrack. God, this is so cool.
Yeah, well, I want to call it the Sugar Shack because there was a club, the Sugar Shack, that we all would go to. David Bowie. I mean, everybody who was kind of coming out in their sexuality, but it was very bisexual.
Were you very, like, nonplussed by all this as a teen because you were just kind of like jaded rich kid? Or were you like, no, this is fucking awesome?
Well, it just was normal. So, you know, like Joan would be like, hey, let's go to the Whiskey a Go-Go. The Ramones are there. And Joan had just gotten back from being with the Sex Pistols. So she was very iconic, wearing all her leather and safety pins. My mom was like, who is this girl you're hanging out with? First, you know, actually, I was first with the drummer, Sandy West, of the Runaways for a minute. And then I met Joan. Then we all went home after Rodney Bingenheimer, and you don't want to know that part. But anyway, so like having shag hair, I was very obsessed with hair.
Yeah.
Did Joan have that haircut then? The like that
yeah,
you think
she
of
had
Joan's haircut?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so
were you inspired by her to do your hair like that, or did she steal your look?
I did it before her. But she probably had it too. We all had like shags. I think Paul McGregor gave me my first haircut, very famous hairdresser. But I remember vividly how they blew it out. It was horrible. Like, I never like that feeling when you leave a hair salon and you look like you did.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to look cooler than that. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, just naturally happened that way. I didn't work at it. So, long story short, oil started crashing in the 80s. And then I was with Sandra Bernhardt. And she was like, honey, God bless the child who has his own. And I remember vividly being with her. And I had a crush on Matt Dillon. You know, I loved like a pretty boy.
Yeah, who doesn't?
I still do. So he hit on her. And I'm like, I was nothing. And so she was so famous at that time.
Yeah.
She just finished the movie with Robert De Niro.
Are you going to pick up all these names you're dropping when you head out the studio, Sally?
I love it.
One time,
I don't look at it like that. But one
these
time
were your people.
I was teaching a show on a stage. And they said, the woman...
The king of comedy.
So I meet
Sandra Bernhardt.
Her big
break came in 1983.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, I wasn't really into it. So long story short. Anyway, that's another story. We go over to Warren Beatty's, and Sean and Madonna were just getting together.
Okay.
And I watched Sandra command the room, and I'm like,
is that when she became friends with Madonna?
That's a separate story.
Yes.
That's not happening on this one.
We need a two-parter interview.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
This is the hair.
That could have gone another direction. I'm just leaving it at that. But that's another story.
Okay.
After we're done. But anyway, long story short, my friend goes, you should go to that beauty school over there and do hair. Because my mom's like, honey, you can't hang out and go out at clubs. You got to go back to school.
FYI, Sally's taking off her jacket. She's just getting warmed up.
Okay.
I know I'm getting hot in here. It's really hot. No, it feels good. Okay. So long story short, I go to beauty school. I went to three because I kept getting kicked out because I was partying all the time, going out at night. And I went to take my tests, and mine was all about electricity. Because, you know, to be a hairdresser at cosmetology school, you have to know how to do a manicure, a pedicure. They gave me the one all on the science part. So I go back to my friend. I go, I definitely failed, but I passed. I couldn't believe it. I mean, they were asking me about electrical currents. I never studied. So then, long story short, I worked with this famous hairdresser, Arthur Johns. He was doing Olivia Newton-John, let's get physical, you know, and all that. And I was an assistant, Karen Carpenter. I'm shampooing her hair, Gigi Gabor, all of them. Everybody was in there. And then when I decided to go on my own, he told me, oh, I wanted to work at this famous hair salon. It was called Armando's, and only 8 hairdressers worked there. And it was the chicest. It was a little house off of Melrose. And he goes, you can't work there because they all were famous. Every single 7 of them were famous. And I'm like this kid. I go, fuck him. I'm going in there. I drive up in my little Jeep, and I was like 18. And they go, oh, let's see you do a haircut. You know, they were all so jaded. I did a haircut. Anyway, they hired me.
Yeah.
And then Armando had been Olivia Newton-John's makeup artist, and then he became her hairdresser. He couldn't go on tour with her. So he said, take Sally. So I go on tour with her. I'm now 19 on her private jet. I'm like, this is cute. I just, you know, she had the short hair, the headband. And I met Herb Ritts on that shoot. You know, he was on the tour shooting her. And Herb Ritts was the most famous photographer pretty much at that time. And he lived in L.A. And so he hired me to start doing covers. And Michelle Pfeiffer was like the first big cover.
Right.
And she is a very good friend of mine. But I became her hairdresser for like 20 years. But she and I were like banging heads, you know, because she's very picky about her hair. She's more picky than I am about hair. She really knows hair.
She must be pretty picky.
Yeah.
you mentioned that. Well, first of all, I just want to back up for a second because you said oil fell. So I just want to close the loop on that. Like, so what was the implication of oil falling? Was it like,
well, you got to go get a paycheck?
Was that like, some urgency?
I had to go to work.
Okay.
And
so
my dad lost everything.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it made him a better person.
And then, okay, so you got.
But he was fancy. I mean, we had that biggest, he built the biggest house in the United States for multiple years. It wasn't, you know, it was a big life.
Okay.
He bought the first Learjet ever built.
Wow.
You know, I had this other life that I was very private about.
Yeah.
Like I'd have my mom drop me off at school a block away because I didn't, she had 8 fancy cars, not one. She had a Porsche, a Jag, a Cadillac, you know, she had the whole shebang. So I didn't want, and I demanded to go to public schools. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be, you know, I wasn't into that. I wanted to know the people that, mm-hmm. you know, are in the hood, so
yeah.
to speak.
Yeah. So, okay, so then you're palling around with Michelle Pfeiffer. You get this exposure to her Brits. I remember you said to me something that, like, one of the biggest things that shaped your career was that simply you were in L.A. at this time.
Yeah, what was just fascinating about L.A. is that her Brits was pretty much Condé Nast, and then Matthew Ralston was shooting all Harper's Bazaar covers. And Interview, and Herb had Interview as well. Actually, the first cover I did with Michelle Pfeiffer was Interview cover. I have pictures of it. She was amazing. And, I mean, we were both smoking then. You know, it was a different time. And I would do
She's
both.
Very healthy now. She's very healthy now.
Oh, yeah. Very. I mean, we all try to be now, I guess. I did have some white wine, red wine last night, which wrecks you. But anyway, so I would shoot Harper's Bazaar in the morning and then Herb like the afternoon light. So I would go and do multiple shoots. And they were shooting every single actress and model, like Tatiana, Cindy Crawford, Christy Turlington. Like, I did all their hair. You know, we were all friends. We all started together. I remember Cindy had short hair when I first met her, very short.
Wow.
Just from Chicago. Like, we all started our careers together. That Naomi, you know, we all kind of. So long story short, it just kept happening for me. And then I finally gave it up and I became a photographer. Vogue gave me my first job. Then I shot a movie poster with Julia Roberts and Nick Nolte, and they loved the hair because I couldn't keep my hands out of the hair. So they pulled me on that movie.
To do hair?
Yeah. I Love Trouble, I think it was, mm-hmm. with Nancy Myers, and it took 6 months to shoot. I bought a house. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm like, okay, I'm going to do hair. Now I'm just going to get
it
into
it. It chose you. I'm sorry.
I can't get away from it. So long story short, I got into hair products from that. I thought, at least I'm going to turn it into a business. And then I opened my first salon on Melrose Place when nobody was there. It was skeletons. And by the time I let it go with John Frieda, that street became more expensive real estate than Rodeo Drive.
What made you open a salon? Like, why did you think, I'm doing all this editorial work, I have work already. Why do you want to have a space for it?
You know, because I started in a salon, I like being with other hairdressers, and I like that you're not being told what to do. I
mean, you're not on set with the photographer,
you know,
being
the
like,
photographer,
move it
this
way.
The editor. I mean, it's very intense, as you both know.
Yeah,
you have
intense.
Everybody like.
Sally, didn't you have your own fan person? Like, I know the hair person always has to move the fan or the paper cardboard to make the wind. I feel like you would have your person that did that
for
you.
Well, I'll tell you, and we were talking about the other day, I didn't have an assistant in those days.
What?
No, I didn't have an assistant. My first assistant was Chris McMillan.
So that was like early 90s, late 80s?
Yeah. You could never bring an assistant.
What?
So you're
ever.
The person that was on their knees with the weird fan machine trying to make it all
honey,
happen.
Herberts would push me in the water constantly. Like, get in the water. Go fix that. Because he would shoot.
Oh, he loves, right, a lot of his iconic photos
I
are in the water.
I forgot that Chris was your assistant. And then because I was thinking when I was writing my little intro, I was like, no one else has created like an iconic cut. And I was like, maybe like Vidal Sassoon. I was like, Sally. And then I thought, Chris McMillan's the only other one.
Yeah.
Your guy.
With
yeah.
Jennifer.
Yeah.
Aniston.
With Jennifer.
Yeah,
what
we haven't
cut
had
Chris
is that?
On the
what
show?
Do you call that cut?
The Jennifer, the Rachel.
The Rachel.
Let's talk about your cut, though, because you just mentioned it briefly. I'm sorry, we're just calling it your cut. How would you describe it for people, you know, we're audio only. What is that iconic shag kind of haircut? What's
okay,
that about?
Okay, well, it goes back to, it became very famous on Meg Ryan, but prior to her, you know, I had cut Julia Roberts. I was her hairdresser for years, too. And she was like, hey, Sally, you know, when we had voicemails, the box, this Julia, can you cut my hair tomorrow at Lucien's house? I'm like, Julia. And I realized it was Julia Roberts. And I go over there. She was so famous for that hair.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, just cut it off. There was no mirror, nothing. I cut off her hair and the press are going crazy.
Around what time in her career was this?
I remember her short hair.
It's like the 80s, I think. Like right after Pretty Women, when like she was really, you know, she had the hair.
Yeah, it was this big, like gorgeous.
Yeah.
Steel Magnolias time,
you know,
maybe.
Hair.
Yeah. And I was like, why are they calling me? I mean, I cut hair. People cut their hair off. What's the big deal? Like I so was not like thinking, oh, this is going to be amazing for my mm-hmm. career. I never, ever did anything with that pretense. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I didn't think, I'm going to do this because then I'm going to be famous. Or I'm going to do that. You know, I was so in hair because I love it. Like, it makes or breaks you, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me personally, if I have a bad haircut, it's the
oh,
worst.
God.
It's yeah. your best accessory.
And you make that mistake like once, maybe twice.
Yeah.
Did you feel after you did the Meg Ryan haircut, which – it's kind of like for people who, if there's anyone who's not quite sure what we're talking about, it's kind of like the French kiss era, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So when we did that, you know, it's really about the script. Meg loves messy hair,
mm-hmm.
and I do too. And there's a period through the movie where she doesn't wash her hair. So we were like chopping into it. I was coloring her hair then and just, you know, doing every – you know what I mean? It was
yeah,
very
so
hands-on.
Cool.
But I think if you ever asked any – what I'm really known for before Meg was texture, because we would be on the beach shooting with her Brits, and if you look at old pictures, like the five girls that are naked all huddled, the mm-hmm. hair's just
that's
all
the
texture.
Other iconic
yeah,
photo.
I have a lot of iconic
– yeah. I'm saying the other one, like there's two. That's another yeah. iconic photo.
Yeah.
yeah.
There's a lot, but – you know, I was really known for texture.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just grab things and put sand in the hair and oil. And, you know, I'm very much like in the moment of what's going to make that hair look amazing in the moment. So to this day, Annie Leibovitz will hire me just to be on set. Same with Steven Meisel. And just do the girls. One time Steven shot 50 of the top models from like every age,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it was just like taking the hair and just kind of zhuzhing it, just tweaking it, not prepping it, and doing it on set. So I'm known for giving a gesture
right.
on set that
mm-hmm.
gives that just
oomph.
It just makes the
I'd
picture.
I'd say je ne sais quoi, but that's too French. We need more like an L.A. rock and roll version of je ne sais quoi, whatever that is.
It's that oomph. It's
an oomph. It's like it's just
an
like
oomph.
It's an effortlessness it's an that just kind of just. Changes everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You should see Jessica doing her hair. Right.
She's getting into it.
I just wrecked mine.
Like, I'm looking at Sally touching my hair, like looking for some approval, like this.
Yeah.
Right?
Like it's just, you know, you just take that and you just kind of fling it over the eye. And it's
our producer's
like,
looking at me like, what the F?
It's just like I know you should see what's happening in here. But it's those moments that make the picture. And Herbert's really taught me that. I also was working with Helmut Newton, who lived in California for the 3 months. So Polly Mellon discovered me at Vogue through her Brits, and then she got Carlene Cerf on me, and then, you know, Tawny Goodman. So there was that. And then where I got really blessed, again, my career was not premeditated, is that I moved to New York because there's an ashram I really like, and I just started being more and more on the East Coast.
This is getting very fashion.
Yeah.
There's an ashram you really like?
Well, I've been going since 1989.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's called Siddha Yoga.
Oh, okay.
It's a it's a meditation place. Like a lot of – like Lori Goldstein and I started there. But it's under – you know, I don't talk about it. But I liked being there.
Okay.
Keeping me centered. And then I thought, well, I want to move more into fashion in New York. And everyone's like, ugh, that's going to be really
versus
hard.
Versus celebrity, you mean?
Yeah, because okay. they did – so I got really lucky. They started putting the celebrities on Vogue covers. And then I got in with Steven Meisel in New York. And then once again, it all took off again.
And every magazine started doing that. You were in the right place at the
right
time.
I was at the right – yeah. I mean, you couldn't have planned that any better. And then I met John Frieda and did product lines. I did, you know, the Sheer Blonde with him. I worked with him. I was the – PR creator for 10 years, and then he sold his company.
You put air quotes around PR creator. Does that mean somebody else created it, but then you tell people how to use it, or you actually like worked on the formulas?
I worked on the formulas.
Okay, so yeah. You're the creator.
So you can't, for me, I can't fake it.
Right.
I don't have that kind of personality.
So what are some of the products that, you know, are some of your greatest hits, so to speak, from you know, that you've worked on, whether John Frieda or you're, you know, I'm sure you've been consulted for other lines.
I have. After John Frieda, you know, I had an exclusive. I did a few things, but I really always, they were getting ready to do a product for me, John Frieda, and then they sold. So I then took a year developing my first line. I actually went into Mass, which is so not me, okay. Even though John was
in Mass.
This
is where I get to ask my question. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Sally Hershberger, what happened to this product?
Mm. Dun, dun, dun.
I've talked about it on the podcast. This is Glam Wave Style Shaper. It was a foam.
Yeah.
It was at Walgreens exclusively, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Sally, do you know how much I spent for this on Amazon last year?
How much?
I wrote it down just so I didn't forget. It was $26.99 for one bottle. And then I just went on right before. I bought two. So I have a little bit left. And I went on and it's now $42.99. And God knows where I'm getting it from and how old it is.
I have some for you.
This product was one of my favorites and it's not around anymore. But this is this the line you were referring to?
So yeah, that was my first line. And I went into Mass because I did it with John Frieda. He sold for $450 million. And I developed.
What happened to this Mass line?
Well, so I went into Mass and then McKinsey came in. They came into all the magazines. And,
oh, McKinsey.
Like, yeah. Consultants.
And yeah, if scary. You weren't doing over $5 million, they got rid of you. I was doing about that. And I developed not this one. It's not here right now. I think I ran out. It's a gold jar.
Yes.
And I developed it and I went on HSM with it and it sold out. And I called it 24K. Mm-hmm. And it was a texturizing paste. And it sold out. And I thought, you know what? I need to base a whole line around this. I'm really luxury.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, not to be, but I've always been the most expensive. Like, mm-hmm. that's who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Mass person, even though I like it. It's mm-hmm. just not really like I like
be authentic to who you are.
It's not really consistent with your brand.
It's just not. And yeah. I did that because it's what I knew, but it wasn't. There was a disconnect, and everyone felt that between me and the brand. So I will be bringing that back. I have a new line coming out.
I don't care. You can make it. It could cost $50. You can put gold particles in it if you want. Right. It's fine. But if it does that to my hair when I air dry, I want it.
All right. I'll make sure you get that.
Okay, I have a question about, like, you know, talking about, like, you being luxury and all that. I remember when your salon came out, there was a big article in New York Mag called Big Hair. You were, like, one of the big, you know, we really were, like, kind of the main person in it. And, you know, at that time, there were the big stylists. It still is like this. It's you. There are, you know, a lot of other stylists, but they're all men. And I know that.
Yeah, there was, like, John Sahag and
John Sahag,
Garin,
you know,
and Oscar Blondie, and it was all dudes.
Garin, you know, Orlando, Fakai, and you're in this kind of pantheon. And I remember it's come up a few times among beauty editors, like, there's only one, you know, big female hairstylist. And, you know, when I spoke with you about it at one point, you were just kind of like, yeah, you know, like, but it wasn't like you've never identified as, like, I would think other people in your shoes mm-hmm. would really be like beating their drum about that. I think it's really interesting that you're not. You've never leaned into that. Can you kind of speak to that?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a fascinating thing because people always ask me, why do you think you're the real female? I mean, now there's other people
yes.
like Jen Atkins.
But Jen's also like a different type of
hairstylist. Yeah, she's a very different. I mean, she got, because if you work with the Kardashians, you're going to be famous. It's that simple.
Yeah.
But you set people, you know, the like editorial crew.
That's a different.
And you have a salon. You're the first person to. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you were the first in that article. The reason why I brought up that article is like you were the first person to be like, F you, I'm charging $800 for a haircut.
Yeah.
Bye. You know, like.
I really come from a different background, though, because of my father and the confidence in my family. I just never felt like there's nothing I can't do if I want to do it. And I don't mean that in a egotistical way. It's like, oh, if I want to take a picture, I can do that. You know, I don't feel insecure.
What do you mean if you want to take a picture?
Like when I was a photographer. Like, oh, I'm going to be a photographer now. I did a clothing line as well. I'm just more like.
You have no insecurities?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have insecurities about being creative.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like
do you think that comes from your dad?
Yeah, and I think because my family just never told me they never told me I could do it, and they never told me I couldn't. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I was just kind of left to my own soul, my own I listen to myself, and I don't follow people. I'm not a follower. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've been a bit of a leader in this industry as far as what I'm doing, you know, like opening salons in areas that no one would ever do. Mm-hmm. You know, as the first in the meatpacking, the first on Melrose Place, I've changed those real estate areas, you
know. Sure, yeah.
No one was in the meatpacking. And now, you know, I'm in the only salon in Hudson Yards. And what was the point? The point is I move very quickly in my head, yeah. And I just kind of go with my own. I don't follow people and what they're doing. I do get insecure about, like, when you first open a business, like, okay, now we got to make sure it goes. And I don't even know if that's insecurity. It's more like it's not fear. It's just, you know, you're it's a stagnant moment. When you launch and go into Sephora, you know, there's those, that moment. Like, it's easy to get in. It's easy to open a salon. But I don't know if you've looked around. A lot of people have closed their salons.
We wanted to actually ask you about that.
Yeah.
The salon game has changed so much since you opened your first salon.
Oh, my God.
What, with the way chairs are rented out, with how much product they're selling or not selling.
Yeah.
How have you seen it change in the last, like, even just 5 years, I would say?
Well, what's most of the people that have opened salons, a lot of them in L.A. worked for me. I feel like – and New York. Actually, mm-hmm. Everyone who works at Surge was trained by me, most of them. I mean, they call it Sally Hershberger at Surge, Normant, John Frieda.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Marie Robinson wiped out my salon with all of my people that I trained.
What was that like?
It wasn't great because the person that did that was married to Sharon Duran before Marie.
Wait, the person?
Abel, her boyfriend.
Was married.
Her husband, whatever.
Oh.
He was with my partner, and he got mad at Sharon, so he took it out on me. That was a very direct hit, and it was $2.5 million hit, so I wasn't happy. But unfortunately, if you just sit back, there's a thing called karma. So now all his people have just left to go to Hudson Yards without doing anything.
And that's where your new salon is,
yeah.
Hudson Yards.
I mean, I don't go after people. I let people come to me because mm-hmm. I don't believe in – how this industry has become, like, really cutthroat. Like, mm-hmm. I've called these salon owners. I said, can you please stop calling the people that I've trained,
yeah.
that I've groomed from nothing up? Mm-hmm. Like, why don't you train your own people? Like, you know, mm-hmm. help me out here because you're ruining it. Because what happened was they started giving them better deals.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality in this business – you cannot make money owning a salon anymore. I mean, you really can't. I mean, John Frieda owns Surge for the most part. You know
mm-hmm,
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You need some type of a backer for the most part because with the deals that people have, by the time your rent, the towels, the employees, and, you know, it's a tough industry. And unfortunately, hairdressers have ruined it for other hairdressers. You know, when I started charging $600, it was on the cover of the Post.
Yeah.
And they were interviewing hairdressers saying, that's terrible. I'm like, why is that terrible? I just made it better for you.
It's good for all of us. Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I feel a haircut is worth. For me, you don't have to charge that. But like.
So why did you want to do it? Why do you keep doing it? I mean, I know you're in a different position than the average hairstylist.
Yeah.
But. Why do you?
You know, to be honest, it's I've been approached by huge real estate companies to do it.
Thank you for your
honesty.
So
I create a much different deal now. Okay. I don't use my own money.
Okay, got it.
I mean, that's
a
little personal, but if you want me, then you can give me a salon. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, I understand that.
Because it takes the way I build a salon, it's $2 million mm-hmm. of my own money. I had to walk out of 14th Street when they got rid of every person there. I was the last to leave. I had to walk away from my investment. Mm-hmm.
Do you think this is partially because now that we have social media, I talked to another stylist about this and they say you don't go to the salon anymore. You're not going for the salon. You go to your person and you're going to follow them if they move around.
That's a great point.
Does that make it harder business to be in because there's less of that loyalty to, you know, the Sally Hershberger salon?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they say statistically you lose like 35% when you move. I'm not so sure about
that. The hairdresser will lose 35% of their clientele.
Yeah, because a lot of them like your salon.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? They mm-hmm. don't want to go to the other salon. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Right.
Because they're comfortable and they go to the colorist in the salon. It's a tricky thing. But the loyalty is slim pickings.
And I mean, it's gotten less so over the years,
oh,
I guess.
Oh, yeah.
How has social media, like, changed the game for you in the past 5 years? Or just speaking more broadly, do you look at it changing the salon industry?
Oh, God, it's completely changed the salon industry. I mean, someone said a great thing. If Instagram crashed, where would half the people go? Because they don't do editorial. They don't do celebrities, mm-hmm. a lot of people. Like, you're over. Like, this
that's where you're making your money.
Right here, mm-hmm. if it blew up in the sky, mm-hmm. there's no kind of archive in the way that, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. if it went away where you build your brand, which is great. It's an amazing thing. It's a lot more work for people like me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
well, you're also making products, so you're going to be fine even if Instagram and the salon go away. You're selling yeah. you have your line 24K now. Let's talk about that a little bit, shall we?
Yeah.
I see so, I know you brought it here and I'm familiar with some of these products. Why is there a pill bottle on the table, Sally?
Oh God. Well, everyone, you know, Ooh. Complains about losing their hair. So these are vitamins to promote hair growth, and I've been working on this for a long time. I don't know if you read the article in W like a couple years ago with different doctors. I've been working on multiple products, and to get it right is very daunting because you have FDA. But I know most of the women I do are 40 and up,
mm-hmm.
unless some mother's paying for their daughter to get their hair cut, or you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah.
And you're seeing as hormones change, you know, women losing their hair is a very unsexy topic. Like, but I can't tell you how many are losing their hair. We're in this room very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? But
yeah. mm-hmm.
I touch so many people's hair. And, you know, it's an uncomfortable subject for a lot of them. So I've been working on multiple things. So that is one of the things. It's a lot like Nutrafol. And
Well, and you worked with doctors because we've been wanting to have a doctor on who can talk about hair loss. So afterwards,
oh,
you're going to have
God.
To tell us who
yeah.
we should talk to. So we have supplements. What else is going on there?
Okay. Well, let's start with the
Well, we don't have to go through the whole thing since people
shampoo
can't see it.
Shampoo and conditioner. Okay. This shampoo and conditioner for me is my favorite of all shampoo conditioners. Why? Because it cleans from the inside out and it gives your hair body, which I like. I like products that keep your hair clean. Yeah. I can't stand seeing product in hair.
Okay.
I just want it to do what it needs to do. So for me, I love the shampoo and conditioner. Also makes your hair look brighter even after one shampoo. That's
oh,
a
I like
fact.
That. I like that.
Jess told me you also are like a mousse girl, which I was
– so, yeah. Yeah. When you put mousse in my hair the other day and I was so surprised because I really – I haven't used mousse since the last time someone told me I should use mousse. Like, I don't know why I can't get this through my head, but like mousse just seems like, I don't know. It
like
seems
white
like,
rain.
I
remember like 80s, like crunchy.
I don't know. I think the last time I used mousse was like, it had like dust on it because it was underneath my mom's like
oh, that's
cabinet.
So funny.
You know?
Okay. So when you just shampoo and condition your hair afterwards,
yeah.
it's like fly away and limp, right?
Yeah.
Like I can't stand little hairs flying in my face. It gives your hair – this is super lightweight mousse,
okay.
by the way. But I've used it my
Is this
whole,
it right here?
Yeah.
Oh, this is what I need. Extreme,
yeah.
Supreme body.
Supreme body, baby. And you just run it through your hair when it's wet, and you get instant body and guts. I like hair that has a holding
guts.
Power.
Guts.
Guts. And, like, it's not, like, flimsy. You know, like, no matter which way I fling the hair, curly, straight, flip it, but it, like – holds that style a bit without feeling it in the hair.
And what do you say to people who are like, or you just could not wash your hair for 4 days and not use product and you'd have the guts?
Ew,
are you not on this train?
No, because by then it's greasy
Ugh.
And nasty.
Ugh.
Okay,
I
you're
mean,
not on
I
that
don't
train.
Believe in washing your hair every day unless you really need to. But this just really also, it allows you to last, your hair lasts longer in whatever style you have it in.
Yeah.
And can I use it on dry hair? You can't really use it on dry hair.
I would use it on wet.
Wet?
Like after you shampoo condition, what I would really use, I'm going to jump here.
Mm-hmm.
I was the first to do a keratin at home, just
okay.
FYI.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Also the first beach spray way before Bumble
yeah.
I did with John
Didn't
Frieda.
Didn't you work on Bumble though? Or we made that up in our heads.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought I read that.
I did it with John Frieda, and it was way ahead of its time.
The beach sprays.
Yeah. And they just brought it back. But this is a keratin spray, and I am a firm believer in after you shampoo and conditioner and you just do a spray of this, it's like taking your vitamins. This is like putting vitamins in your hair. And it's so easy. You just mist it. And people are obsessed with this.
And what about women with thinning hair? Does that help at all, or that's more the supplements?
Well, it builds your keratin back. We all lose our keratin as you age, so you need to put it back in there. And there's also amazing other little ingredients there. But it's like it's a no-brainer. You know, you take vitamins.
It's not going to affect the style or anything.
It's going to make the style better because it adds – like the whole nutrition to your hair.
Nice.
Sally, quick cue. I go to sleep with like damp hair because I take a shower at night and I go to bed. Mm-hmm. So my hair is dry a lot. Are any of these things good that I can use on dry hair? Or
you can use that on dry hair.
Okay, I can use keratin on dry.
Yeah, but or wet. And the dry oil.
Okay.
I was very hesitant in doing a dry oil because, you know, I mean, I hate silica. I hate like those greasy products.
Okay.
Hate.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I have to stay with, you know, I have to be competitive now. So this is like my number one. People die over this dry oil because you blow out your hair with it or just leave it wavy. And this is amazing for you, especially from here down.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
You guys, if you have dry hair, you need this and your hair. I mean, it's by far the best one. It's not greasy.
Okay.
And then the root lift. Everybody likes a little root lift, and this is so lightweight. This is actually my number one.
There's like eight number ones right now.
I mean, you know what?
Can you tell that Sally's been on HSN?
I know. But I got to tell you, I style hair.
Yeah.
And so I really understand product.
Yes.
I know.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not like, this isn't fake. And then my pomades, I have a texturizing paste and a balm, which I always use the
Sally,
bomb.
Sally, we'll put links to all these on the website.
Before we let you go, though, you know other beauty stuff. You are in the mix. What else is in your beauty bag non-hair related? Because you were hanging out with Joan Jett. You hit him with some hard partying days, and you're still looking pretty good, you know?
Well, you know what's really weird?
What?
You can see me. I don't really wear makeup unless I'm going to get photographed. Uh-huh. And then I wear like a little – I take a little – and I haven't found the perfect one. I need – if anyone can recommend – I like a little charcoal under my eyes, but it has to be soft, but not too soft where it like smudges everywhere. I just tried the YSL one. You know, I'm at Barney's all the time.
The Kohl, the like pointy triangle one?
Yeah, I like a little Kohl, like a smudgy, and just like a little mascara. I use Maybelline. I mean, the last I heard, that's a really good one.
Well, it is a fat mascara podcast. I think we can sort you out.
Yeah. But Maybelline's good. Maybelline's really good.
Yeah. I don't like makeup. I think women look really cool without it. Like a little bit, but I don't like too much on – I don't like plastic. I like a natural beauty. And I think women, you know, don't need that much makeup. Why do we need makeup and men don't?
Like – sing it.
I mean, I think that's a weird concept. Like, why do we have to wear makeup?
Well, men wear it now, too. So.
I know. Well,
you must love
and
that.
I don't really like that.
You don't?
Uh-uh. I mean, I like it if they wear it, like, more rock and roll. But
what about a Dave Navarro kind of, like, or like a eye?
Yeah. Haven't you done Justin Bieber? He wears a little makeup every now and then, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Maybe
no,
not.
He doesn't look like he does. No, I don't think that's like very Justin Bieber.
I think he's more like, I mean, his skin, he doesn't look like he's wearing makeup right now. He looks more like really raw.
He's raw.
Raw. Leave it at that. And I'm a huge fan.
Do you want to know something really funny? Mm. I too have a Joan Jett story.
Oh, really?
I didn't go out with her.
Oh.
But when I was...
Do you want to?
No.
Wait, she's married.
Can you hook it up? Can you hook a sister?
I could.
Hall pass from Jeff.
When I was in college, my brother did like the makeup for like an indie film. And it was... Joan Jett was in the movie. And I assisted him.
Ah.
And I... Like, I was so frightened.
I touched her.
I was so frightened because he, like, went to, like, go do something. And they were like, we need makeup on Joan. And I did her makeup for something.
No way.
I was terrified.
You've never told me this story.
It's true. I asked Terry. And I remember just being like, I didn't know what I was doing. I don't have a makeup license. And I'm like, this looks about right. And she was so cool. I was so terrified.
That's
a, what she said. Yeah, yeah, man.
No, she was fine. She was totally normal. But I was like, my heart was like the Bugs Bunny, like the heart beating out, and I was just like, I petrified. She was so nice, but
she's like Joan's like the nicest. I mean, what?
So petite.
So yeah, she's so petite. She's very small.
Can you get her on the podcast for her? Come back. We'll do like a 4-way interview.
She would do it.
We'd party. That'd be fun. Rock and roll episode.
Oh my god. Yeah. I wonder if she'd remember that I was like trembling. Like
she probably would. Smoke, but
right. We'll make it fun. We'll make it a party. This has been the coolest interview ever.
Oh my god.
You're everything that we thought you were going to be.
Awesome.
Thank
that
you.
That was so fun,
Sally,
you guys. You guys are
best.
A ball.
Time to raise a wand. Freaking, can I first raise it to Sally Hershberger? Because that was amazing, and we need to have her back on the podcast.
She has got so many great stories. When the mics were off, she told us some awesome stories, and I felt like she wanted to
when
talk
the
about them
on
mic, too.
We got to have her
like,
back.
It doesn't matter. Mics on, off. Like, she'll just keep talking.
Let's party, Sally.
I love her.
Yeah. All right, raise a wand to her, and I'm going to raise a wand. It's actually not a beauty thing, but I'm really excited about it. So there's this company called The Citizenry, and they
What's
make
that?
Well, they make home accessories, but I got pillows from them. They make me so happy because, A, they're gorgeous and wool, and they have like a cool Southwestern design, and they're soft, and I love everything about them. But I met the founders, and they're made by a co-op of Oaxacan women in Mexico, and they were telling me all about the life story of these women, that they have now been able to get out of damaging relationships. They're able to grow their family's income, and they're even growing this co-op of women that are making these pillows. They get stuff from all over the world. They do community-driven projects in, I think, like India and Peru. Also, my pillow happens to be from Mexico, and the pillow I ended up getting is like a one-off that they're not selling anymore because she was like, it was too complicated. Like, even the weaver lady like was telling her, they went down. She was like, oh, honey, no, we can't make like tons and tons of these. This is like your one-off
That's
sample.
Funny.
So, but I love that too, where they're working like with the women and understanding their needs. And it just seems like the kind of company where you're like, this is cool. They're not just like, here, make this and we get to throw like, oh, it gave 10% to charity or whatever. Like, it's truly making jobs for women. And I love that. But go on their website because it's like these nice Southwestern kind of Scandinavian, like neutral color vibes.
That's so you.
If you're in the market for a new throw pillow. I think they do rugs and stuff, too.
That's really cool. And I like what you're saying, that it's not just like, oh, we're chucking some, you know, a small percentage.
Yeah,
that they're
mine's
actually working
the Tobala pillow. But I had like a special color of it. I don't think they do anymore. But I was looking at the one on the website.
Isn't that's nice.
Isn't that pretty? Okay, we'll put a link on the.
That would go with many different aesthetics. That would go with like Americana. It would go with like, Scandi. Arts and crafts.
A little shabby chic. Yes, you name it.
I like that.
Yeah. Okay. So home accessories.
Ski chalet.
Yes. What's yours?
So mine is a bit more just like normal, like everyday. I am going with a cleanser.
Okay.
Okay. I've gotten really fussy about cleansers because I want my cleanser to be gentle. I hate foaming cleansers. Like, I really just don't like them on me. I really like a creamy cleanser, but this one actually, it's not super creamy, but it really did it for me. Olay Sensitive Calming Liquid Fragrance Free Cleanser.
I saw their new sensitive skin line. I was like, genius, Olay.
It's awesome.
Where has this been for 5 years?
It's very, I don't have sensitive skin, but here's the thing. It leaves my skin very soft. It does get rid of most of my makeup, not all. It doesn't claim to be like the ultimate makeup breakup, you know, kind of thing. But it reminds me of my favorite cleanser of all time that I've never found anything like it since. It was from like the early 90s. It was this like Almay like cleanser. It was just like a kind of creamy lotion.
I bet you though it had a fragrance and this one doesn't, which in my book.
No, it didn't have a fragrance.
The Almay one. Oh yeah, hypoallergenic.
Yeah, they don't have any fragrance in it.
But this is your new.
This is almost as good. If not equally as good as the Almay one. So
it doesn't sting your eyes.
No, like you can shove it up your nose. I mean, I don't I don't recommend you do that.
Everybody's like snorting Olay out there.
Olay, please, guys, nobody shove it up their nose. But it's so gentle, not jarring in the morning. And it's I'm looking at Ulta's website right now. It's $10, $9.99.
Love it. Love it.
It's great. It fits the bill. Come on. Come on.
Genius.
Thanks for listening. Fat Mascara is produced by our friends at Atwell Media. You can check out our website, fatmascara.com, for episode recaps, product recommendations, and discount codes.
And if you want to reach us directly, email us at info@fatmascara.com, or you can follow us on social, @fatmascara, shoot us a DM, and we'd love if you went over to iTunes and threw us a rating. How many stars?
5.
5, please.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.